One of my great pleasures that I have as the Director of Agriculture at AM 580, in addition to seeing all you folk throughout the year at both the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting as well as the Outlook panels that we have, is actually working with this man right over here. His name is Todd Gleason. He's the host of the Closing Market Report, as well as Commodity Week, our flagship show on Saturday mornings. And Todd worked at WILO Radio back in the day with Charles Lindy, and went away over across the way onto the ACES side of things. And when I was hired as the Director of Agricultural Programming, I said, I need some help. And so my boss, Jay Pierce, got together with ACES and brought Todd on over, and it's been a grand relationship these last 3 years, and we hope it goes on another decade or more, at least until I retire. And so with that in mind, I'm going to give the microphone over to my compadre, Todd Gleason, who's going to do cash grains.
Thanks very much, Dave. Give Dave Dickey a hand if you would, please. All right, you all know that I work for the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences on campus. You hear it as University of Illinois Extension. The campus version of the college works in three ways, and this is the way it works in most land grants, and we'll get to the cash grain in a moment. There are three legs in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences: education, extension, outreach, and programming content, research. So education is the college. Extension is outreach portion, and I work for both of those, and I report on research. So those are the three things that happen most of the time in any land grant institution. So when you think of the College of ACES on campus, it really is the extension programming content, it's the research that some of the scientists do, and the education that we do with the students on campus. So that's a quick review of how a land grant college works. Now, my job is to do the radio and television programming content for the college, so you might catch me on Ag Day from time to time at the U.S. Farm Report. If you're in Champaign or the viewing area, you'll see me on 3 and 15 and Channel 12, which is WILL TV, and I host the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Those are half-hour programs. Closing Market Report's at 6 after the hour, 2 o'clock Central Time in the afternoons, and Commodity Week is at 11:30 a.m. Saturday mornings. You can get all of those, by the way, on our website at WILLAG.org. Now, if you have not used a computer to do that, give it a shot. How many actually, and I'll be interested to see, how many of you have, not use it to get to the internet, but how many of you have a computer at home that you use for your business? How many of you access the internet using that computer? All right, now, how many of you have high-speed internet as opposed to a telephone line to do that? Once you go high-speed, you will find that the internet is an indispensable tool. 10 years ago when we went out on the corn and soybean classic series with the U of I campus folks, I started saying, buy a computer, get connected to the net. Now spend the money to get online at a high speed rate, because it will make a difference in the way you market. It will make a difference in the information that you get on ag in general. Let's talk about the cash grain markets. Kay Whitlock is with us this morning. She's from Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Next to her is Bill Mara in the middle. Bill Mara is with Rojack Marketing. He's up at the elevator in Lexington, Illinois. And Greg Johnson from the Andersons in Champaign County joins us today, too. Brian Maple called, could not make it in from Indianapolis. He didn't say whether that was because of the fog this morning or for some other reason, but I'm sure that Dave will give him a little bit of heck when he talks to him next week. You know, when Dave asked the question, how many people still have cash soybeans left to sell, I leaned over and I said, they didn't say which crop year. I was like, yeah, there's probably some guys out there working on $10 for the 2040 crop year. Kay, maybe. Kay, why don't you tell us a little bit in 2-3 minutes about your feelings on the marketplace, and then we'll take some questions. By the way, this is participatory this morning, so if you have questions, just raise your hand and we'll get them answered. Kay Whitlock?
Well, good morning, everybody. Beautiful day for an Outlook meeting until you got close to Covington. And I swear Charles Lindy's spirit is still hanging over these meetings for those of you who've been here for years, because every time he scheduled one of these meetings, the weather was terrible. We came off of two huge crop years in a row. Bins were full, and it just turned into a merchandising nightmare. We had really low prices, low basis levels last year. We've got the biggest carryout in corn and beans we've had in about 20 years. We bottomed out last fall at $1.55 in corn and about $5.10 in beans. Basis levels were just shy of 50 under. Really, really scary. So there was piles of corn last year on the ground at numerous elevators, especially in the Western Corn Belt. So we started out this crop year with a lot of leftover from 2004 crop. So I dreaded everything as far as merchandising grain was concerned. But believe it or not, the market rallied, the index funds got into it, and the farmers have really rallied at these meetings and sold their grain into these rallies. We are at this point, as far as new crop forward sales for this fall and forward, over 400% more than we were a year ago. So the only thing about it is I think you're going to have a lot more opportunities to price corn later on. I'm just not bullish beans at all. Basis levels are worse than I've seen in years as far as cash and new crop. I don't think that's going to change a lot. The only carry you're getting in the market is basically in the board, because basis levels are where we're 20 under on cash corn, we're 20 under on April, May, 20 under for June, July. As of yesterday, April, May, June, July terrains devalued even 3 cents more than they were last week. So the farmers continue to sell their grain. I think probably we are pretty well sold up in cash. There's still some corn in bins out there, but you'll get some opportunities later on down the road to price your corn. The index funds are long 170-some thousand contracts. I think probably in the urge of caution, I hope you have most of your cash grain sold, but I'd save a little bit back for a weather market.
Thanks, Kay. Bill Mayer?
Thanks, and good morning to everyone. I guess when it comes to basis levels and the basis this past year, Kay pretty much summed up what we saw. But a couple of things that kind of stick out in my mind. The first thing is from a classic model of merchandising 101 that we learned, you have your basis improve when the market needs to move grain. The basis improves. Then the spreads start to come in, then your future to go higher. We didn't have that this year. We haven't had that, and the question is, why haven't we had that? Well, I think two reasons. One is because, as the earlier panel mentioned, you have the speculators in the market. They've driven the futures price up, and they've driven it up enough that that's kept grain, as Kay mentioned, farmers selling grain at better rates than normal. I think the other thing is on the corn side, you've got the LDP that's there. And because of the big LDPs that were out there that people took last fall, it was easier to pull that corn out of the farmers' hands whenever you got into the $2 cash range in central Illinois. So I guess I don't expect that to change a whole lot. I mean, I think that the pattern has been pretty similar to what you always have, and I think that's the second point here. If you look at the pattern that we've had on the basis levels, it's been just like you're supposed to have. You had the lows there in fall. You had the increase back up as you came into the first of the year, and the only difference is that the levels didn't ever get up to average. They're still lagging behind average basis levels. The reason, of course, for that is transportation. No matter what you look at, barge, rail, truck, every kind of freight that you're looking at is more expensive. And I guess as I look out forward into the new crop, I look at some pretty good basis levels in some areas, considering that the energy and the freight levels haven't changed. So I guess I don't expect that to change. I think that you see the pattern being fairly pretty much like we had last year, where you get some lower levels as you move into harvest with some rebound after harvest. But I don't think you're going to see as good a basis levels as what we've seen in the past. So if you don't want to let the basis levels hold you back from making sales if you're looking at harvest-type sales?
You can hear more from Bill Mayer on Thursday afternoons at about 25 after the hour. By the way, Kay Whitlock is on Wednesday afternoons at 25 after the hour Central Time. And Greg Johnson, who you're about to hear from, you can hear on Mondays at 25 after the hour. Good morning to you, Greg. Glad you could make it over today.
Good morning, Todd. Well, I'd like to, I was thinking on the way over, baseball season is just around the corner. Spring training's started. And so I have kind of a baseball theme this morning. For all you corn producers, it's the same message I give to all us Cub fans. Wait till next year. Ethanol usage is picking up. We're using almost 11.5 billion bushels a year. China has stopped exporting, at least stopped subsidizing their exports for the month of March. Hopefully that means they're getting close. We've had a couple good, three good crops in a row, so the acres should be down. The weather's getting more extreme. All that's very friendly. The problem is 2.4 billion bushels left over from last year. We're going to cut into that this year, but we've got one more year of surplus, potential LDP, and corn on the ground, and probably not really good basis levels. But the stage is being set next year. Just wait till next year on corn. Also have a message for soybean producers, another baseball theme for all you White Sox fans out there. Just because it worked last year doesn't mean it'll work this year. Holding on to soybeans the last 3 years has worked. But remember, the last 2 years, South America has had a 10 to 15% decline in production because of dry weather. 3 years ago, we had aphid problems. Ever since South America has been expanding, we have not had a good crop in both hemispheres at the same time. We're halfway past that battle this year. South America is going to come in with about an average crop, if you can believe what the private guys are telling us out of South America. We're going to plant probably 2 million more acres of beans. If you combine a good crop in South America with a good crop in North America, it's not going to be a pretty sight. I give farmers credit. They've been selling corn on these rallies. As Kay said, our farmers are too, but they're not selling beans. The funds have been buying corn. There's a legitimate reason why. The funds have not been buying beans, but I think the fact, when you mention the word funds, it scares people into doing what they know is the right thing to do. They're afraid that if they sell beans, the funds may come in and buy beans, and then those $6 sales will look bad. The fundamentals say that $6 is a good sale.
I'd like to review last season just a bit for some historical context. And Bill, I want you to think about this one just for a second, then we'll get to your answer. If you could think about how Katrina impacted the transportation system, I know you've given that some thought, and in a moment I want to know just how Katrina did that and what that meant last fall to basis and what is left in the system and may stay in higher terms of transportation cost for how long. But, Greg, I want you to go back a little bit further than Katrina, and I want to go back to June of last year when we were talking on the air consistently and constantly about the large number of bushels of corn that were left to come into marketplace, and where were they all? Where did we say they were? They weren't here, were they? They were all in Iowa, and all of a sudden all the elevators here filled up as you guys sold your corn back into the marketplace. So go back through historically how that happened and why it is that we may have missed the idea that there was so much corn left in the eastern corn belt as opposed to the western corn belt.
Well, last year, as you remember, June was very dry, May was very dry, and July, the first 10 days, started off very dry. Farmers just went into freeze mode and stopped selling. Elevators did the exact same thing. We want to be full into the fall, and we tried to project how much corn was going to come in, and by all indications, it wasn't going to be very much. So we stopped selling corn. We probably had 2 million bushels of corn that we carried into the fall last year. If we would have known we were going to have as good a crop as we did, we would have sold that 2 million bushels and had the elevator completely empty. So it caught a lot of people by surprise. That's not happening this year. Our plan is to be empty this year. Whether it rains this summer or not, we're going to try to be empty. And I think the farmers are realizing, what worked, what didn't work last year. They don't want to make that same mistake. So the farmers are selling that old crop corn. And the problem we've got is the funds have bought corn. And it's not a problem. You just have to keep in mind the flat price picture. The price, the February average price for corn, for those of you that have crop insurance, this year is $2.59. Last year, if you remember, it was $2.32.
We've got more corn. We've got 2.4 billion left over this year. We only had 2.1 left over at this time last year. More corn, but yet a, what is it, 27 cent higher price. Why? Because of the funds, primarily. The funds are long almost 800 million bushels of corn. I think the last commitment to traders report was 780. The all-time record is 905. Now, I'm not saying that they can't get even longer, but they're getting awful close to their all-time record, the funds are. It's an advantage for us. It's an advantage for corn producers. We take advantage of it, and we sell corn because sooner or later, probably after pollination time, the funds are going to get tired of holding on to this position, and we can still see lower prices as we go into the fall. But the bottom line is the futures price is higher. That's made the basis weaker, but the overall flat price is still very high compared to what the fundamentals would suggest, and you just need to take advantage of that, and I think you are. So I commend you for doing a good job of selling old and new corn.
So we went into last fall, we had the elevators full, and we had another crop coming on. And the reason I'm going back through this is I'm trying to get to LDP at some point, where I'd like UK to make some predictions about LDP in the fall this year, but I want the historical context from last year. Tell me about transportation system.
Well, we just got a set of circumstances. Greg hit on one of the things that happened was the elevators in general were holding off on selling because of the dry weather. I think probably last July, if I'd ask anybody in the room if I could buy your corn for 120 bushel an acre, you'd probably sold it to me in most cases. So everything kind of hit at once. It's probably a set of circumstances that we won't see again all at the same time, but when Katrina hit it, it jacked up the energy prices, of course, which affects your transportation cost. It took a lot of barges out of the system, which still exist today. We're still fewer barges than what we had a couple of years ago that they haven't come back into the fleet. It's kind of like if you're trying to, if you can imagine pouring everything into a funnel and you're just keeping that funnel as full as you can, and then all of a sudden you shut off the end of the funnel. That's basically what Katrina did. And it's not just the Katrina from a transportation standpoint. You know, if we're going to use, like the USDA said in the outlook, 11.5 billion bushels of corn, we've just got a lot more corn to transport than we used to. And the railroads are starting to find out on the rail cars that they can make money on grain if they raise the rates high enough to make money. So that's kind of where we're at on the rail side of it. I'd say, Greg, you can speak on that if you'd like.
You hit it exactly right. The rail rates are much higher, and that's causing a little bit more weakness in basis.
If you've got questions, just raise your hands, and we'll get those answered. Kay, could you talk about LDP this fall for me and what your predictions might be? There's been a lot of talk on the air and some chatter. And I know these guys have probably heard it, but the LDPs were really big last fall, and that kind of LDP is it likely to return in those sizes?
It's very possible. If we don't get rid of all the corn that we've got left from this year's crop and the crop before that, and basis levels continue to plummet like they have been, yeah, I think you could see wide LDPs again this fall.
That was not the answer I expected, actually.
Todd, could I?
Yeah. That's why we have many different voices on the air. I had heard many times over, and I would imagine you all have too, that LDPs aren't expected to be nearly as wide.
I think it really depends. I mean, if you're up there along the Illinois River last fall, where the basis was as wide as it was, those LDPs didn't really look that wide when you took them and added them onto your cash price. You got a little bit less than loan rate in some cases.
Sure. With 28 to 30 cents carry till fall, are you seeing a lot of the 05 corn being held over and sold for fall this year?
Not at our elevator, no. I mean, these cash prices are really pretty good. I mean, we had a 45 cent LDP and you know, with cash over $2, because we've got a bigger carry out, you know, this year than we had last year, and our cash corn last year was $1.95. I've got it right here. So the market tells you if you got a good LDP that you don't really want to hold your corn. I think that's awful risky. I think most of them will have it sold by the time this crop comes on.
Yep, most farmers are flat price sensitive, and the flat price is very good. For those that don't mind storing corn, Like the gentleman said, December corn was 260 yesterday. March corn is 223. That's 37 cents over 9 months. That's 4 cents a month. So there's very good carry in the market. If you don't mind storing corn into the summer, it's worth an extra 4 cents a month. But these are awfully good flat price levels, too. So we've got a fair amount of people just selling the corn, saying, this is more than I thought I was going to get. Thank you very much. And there's others that are playing the carry game if they're willing to carry that corn into the summer.
I don't think you see it from the farmer standpoint, but I think that we see most of the elevators still pretty full, and they're carrying the corn that they bought, trying to plan, okay, we've got 29 weeks now till harvest. How much do we have to, you know, how many trains do we have to ship every week to get empty? Greg made a good point earlier, and that is that last year, I think all the elevators are in the mode of, we're not going to let that happen to us again. So I can see where you're going to probably see grain move faster than you saw a year ago, which may mean that you have the wider bases earlier, you know, like late summer instead of early fall.
As a young producer looking to what cash grain markets might do going forward, from all of you's opinion, how important does on-farm storage become 5 and 10 years or even 2 years from now?
We'll start with the elevator guy.
Well, if you built bins 4 years ago, you've got them paid for. The carry in this market the last 3-4 years has just been tremendous. And like I said, one more year, there's going to be some pretty good carry, good return on your bins for one more year. After that, I think the demand picks up enough that the big carries, I mean the 30-cent carries from fall till March, you know, 40-cent carries from fall till summer, those probably will go away. But the bins will still be worth something. They'll still be worth 15, 20, 25 cents a bushel. And as we get into more demand-driven markets, ethanol, for example, I think having bins are going to pay. I mean, I'm in the elevator business, and I don't want to, you know, turn business away, but the bins have definitely paid for themselves. But remember, bins are, you know, bins like anything else are cyclical. We're just probably coming off one of the best times in recent history for bins, so we'll probably go back to a more traditional historical return on bins. But the last 3-4 years has just been phenomenal.
The bean panel addressed the potential of a washout in the July-August pre-harvest. Would you guys anticipate a possible LDP in that bean market in the washout if the 550 million bushels does come to pass, or maybe it gets a little bigger?
I guess I think that's a possibility, not LDP, because LDP ends on May 31st, but ability to pay your loan back.
I would throw this out. I think the lows in the bean market may not come until next January. We need to keep South America growing more bean acres, and we need to grow more corn acres up here as the ethanol usage increases. So if we wash the beans out into the fall, remember they start planting about November. If we get beans too low, their farmers are not making money right now. I mean, the real, that's one thing that wasn't talked about yet. The real, which is what they're paid off of, is very strong compared to the U.S. dollar. It's hurting their profit margins. So the South American farmers are not making any more money on beans than what we are up here. If they get too low, they won't plant as many. They planted 3% less acres this year. They might plant less next year if the price is too low. So I don't think you'll see extremely low prices, just for the same reason we're trying to buy corn acres now up here. We'll probably try to buy bean acres. We'll still be lower than where we are now, but I think the lows could come in January. Once those beans get planted in November and December, then I think your LDP scenario comes into play. So for all of you that have beans and get them sold ahead, if you can store them, keep them in the bin. Get those sales made, but maybe sell them for January, because I think the LDP could be even bigger in January than what it might be in the fall.
New crop bids seem to be extremely weak in my area. Do you see that changing between now and the fall harvest, or will they remain that way? I would be from near Case area.
I think Bill said it right. people remember what worked last year and what didn't work last year. So elevators, for example, are going to work backwards and sell as much corn as we need to be empty as we go into the fall rather than hold on to corn. So that makes the basis a little bit weaker compared to the last few years into the summer. Also, there's more storage space going up. You know, the bin, if you talk to a bin builder, he's got a backlog. So, all that tells me that maybe, somewhere down the road, these basis levels are going to get better. But like I said, one more year. I think we still have one more year of traditionally weak basis levels. But I think after this coming year, I think we've probably seen the worst basis levels because of the increased demand and the increased storage space.
Bill, how does an ethanol plant, in your mind, change local basis and then the regional basis in the area, if at all? I know it changes local basis, but how widespread might that impact be?
Well, I guess I think that depends on the area that you're talking about. I mean, if you're talking about an area where the outlet for the corn, say, for example, is Rayo.
Let's put one in Lincoln, or because they're thinking about that. And it's not too terribly far from Decatur, and it's about halfway between Decatur and the river. And then maybe compare that to one that would be further out in Iowa.
Okay, I think it's just a matter of competition. If you have two people bidding for your grain instead of one, you're going to see some improvement in basis levels. But the end result will be that the draw, the logistics, the flow of grain is what really changes. In other words, if you put one in Lincoln, you'll see some change in the pattern on where some of the corn comes into Decatur. I mean, I think there'll be some changes in rail going into Decatur and freight rates going into Decatur and that type of thing because of ADM being there. No doubt that it improves basis levels. If you're looking at a situation in the middle of Iowa, for example, where basis is probably weaker than it is in, say, a Lincoln, then I think it probably has a bigger effect on it. But the ethanol plant will pay what they need to pay to get the corn to move. It doesn't necessarily, as long as they can buy it away from the competition.
Greg, what's your view on marketing plans? That some elevators, I think the Andersons have a couple of them, that they asked producers to use, and what kind of marketing plans seem to work best? And I know you've probably got some you'd like to promote, but in general, what's your view on a marketing plan, cash grain marketing plan, that would pull the trigger automatically?
Well, we've got we have to look at history. I mean, I can remember Darrell Good sitting up here and saying that corn has an average range in a normal year of 70 cents. So I always try to ask myself, okay, what's the high and the low? What's that range? This year I would think it might be 215 to 285 December futures. Well, we've already hit 265, and I don't want to wait for the very last penny. So, you know, I think we need to sell corn anytime it's above 260, between 260 and 270. And then if it, you know, we get half of it sold there, and if it goes higher, we can look at some other strategies, minimum price, options, things like that. But I think you have to have a plan in mind and have a, you know, you have to have a game plan as far as where you think prices are going to go. Same way with soybeans, $1.70 on beans is an average range, $4.90 to $6.60 maybe, and we're already at $6.25. So in my mind, we're already a lot closer to the high than the bottom, and we should be selling beans. We have some tools at the Andersons that we call semi-automated pricing programs where you set some floors, but then depending on the parameters, moving averages, relative strength indexes, things like that, it will price a certain percentage of those bushels on days when it deems to the market to be a good day to sell. So you're not tied up in the markets emotionally day to day having to worry about it. You've set a floor price, and hopefully it'll do better than your floor price, and it has in the past. So I think there's a combination of strategies. You know, you still need to sell some on your own. You maybe have a market advisor help you sell some, and then you have some of these other kind of semi-automatic tools. So you just kind of spread your risk out and not have all your eggs in one basket.
Okay, depending on who we talk to, we talk in bushels and cents. Or we talk in acres and dollars. Is it just semantics, or does it really make a difference, do you think, for a producer to think about dollars per acre in margin as opposed to in profit margin as opposed to cents in bushels?
It just seems like every year the farmer himself likes to do more merchandising than they did in prior years. And, you know, you hate to give anybody an idea as to how much they really need to sell because it depends on the kind of ground they have, if they have sand ground or whatever. You know, it just really depends on the farmer's personal tastes. But, you know, we have managed marketing programs. We have average price programs. So we have a lot of tools that a farmer can use to sell his grain. And they've been very, very efficient. We have a gentleman that does our merchandising for us, and he's done very, very well in corn, not so good in beans. But I still feel that these prices we're seeing today are at least 20 to 25 cents higher than they were a year ago. And not that a farmer shouldn't take advantage of some weather problems if we have some, but $6 new crop beans should have been sold. I'm really, really bearish beans. The only thing that will help this bean market is if the funds do come in and buy. They've just been absent from the bean market, but they could come in. So the farmer, it just depends on his individual tastes, I think, but there's no doubt that there should have been a lot of forward contracting done at this point.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Mr. Johnson, are the Andersons involved in ethanol expansion, and if so, tell me about it.
Yeah, we've got a plant in Albion, Michigan, that will start processing corn in this fall, October. We've got another one that we just started building in Clymers, Indiana, which is near Logansport, so that's our second one, and we are looking at building a third one. No details yet as far as where that will be. They've got several sites that they're looking at. You know, it kind of depends on, you know, the local government and who can get the air permits and, you know, all the legal ramifications that go along with that. But the Andersons is getting into ethanol. There's very good margins. Sure, you know, in fact, I've got some numbers here from the RFA, the Renewable Fuels Association. There's 95 ethanol plants currently in production, producing 4.3 billion gallons. There's 34 ethanol plants and 9 of those current ones under expansion, which will add another 2.1 billion bushels. So, you know, that's one reason why I'm friendly corn next year. This ethanol is really going to be a boon for the corn farmer. Will we get to the point 4 or 5 years down the road where we have overcapacity? Yeah, and then there'll be, you know, the well-managed ones will probably take over the ones that are not as well managed. But for the next 3 or 4 years, I don't see anything but upside to ethanol expansion.
Is your company owned or farmer owned?
We're company owned.
Okay. What size plant, he wants to know.
Oh, what size? Those are 100 million gallon plants. In fact, the one in Clymers will be the largest one east of the Mississippi.
Time to wrap things up, and I know that you've already told us you're very bearish the bean market. And what I just simply want to know, bearish, bullish, corn, beans, and what kind of price outlook. And make it short, and we'll finish up, and we'll take a quick break. Okay?
Well, as I said, I'm very, very bearish beans. We've got a huge carryout next year, and we're going to have possibly 1.5 to 2 million more acres. I still say sell $6 beans. If they get back up there, we're within a dime of that now. I still say it's a good place to sell. I'm hopeful that the guys that have really good ground are at least half sold in corn. But here again, if we have a lot less acres and some weather, then you could see some fireworks in this corn market.
I guess I would say that it's hard for me to see why you should be friendly on beans, but I've been around long enough to know that when everybody's leaning one direction in the boat, sometimes it tips over. So I don't know why with 500 million carryout we should be bullish on beans, but that doesn't mean there can't be something comes along that changes that pattern. I think you've got to take advantage, as Kay said, of the price levels that we've had out here, but you have to be aware of what could happen and how quickly those carryouts could change. And I think the panel earlier talked about some strategies by getting beans sold and buying some call options against it. I think that's a good route to go.
I think we've had 7 analysts up here now, and all 7 have been negative beans. And I just am wondering to myself, does that mean you're going to go out and sell more beans this afternoon? And my guess is probably not, because just that fear of the funds coming in and buying. So I'm not usually a big advocate of options, but if you look at buying a $6 put and selling a $7 call, those, you can get that done for 10 cents. For 10 cents, you can lock in a $6 floor, and there's a very real possibility that beans could be $5 this fall. So if you're wrong, you don't have to sell beans at $6. You do have to sell them at $7. But given the scenario, that doesn't seem very likely, and I think you need to do something. You know, sell flat price beans, but if you can't do that, at least maybe look at these options. They're not real expensive at a $6, $7 level.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing. And Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain. Give them a hand, please.